Ooh-wee. What is up? What is up? I am Cannibal, the Cannabis Animal, back at it again with another edition of the fucking Blum Report. Good morning, y'all. Good afternoon. Good night. Whatever time you're listening to this shit, still smoking on this Slurricane ice cream cake. Made some hash. So fucking tasty. Hope you guys are fucking having an awesome fucking month, despite the fact all the shit that's going on. So, yeah, once again, hope you guys are doing well. I can't stress this enough, please stay away from the fucking media, because the media is controlled by other sources. So, it's all the same shit. Please don't believe everything you see on that motherfucker. It's for your health, really, for your health. Do your own research, gather your own fucking thoughts and answers. Don't let anybody put bullshit in your fucking brain. Please, for real. That being said, welcome to another edition of the fucking Blunt Report. Yes, I'm a little stoned. Excuse me. So today we are going to be talking about one of the fucking awesome, the most awesomest fucking stories I've ever heard in my entire life. Real talk. It is the story of the greatest fucking beer run ever. If you guys ever heard of that story, you might be familiar. If not, this is going to be interesting. It is a story of John Chicky Donahue, a person that decided, hey, back in the Vietnam War days, let's go ahead and take the homies over there on the front lines of beer. And he did it with fucking crazy ass events in between, which is fucking nuts. So who does that? Who takes a beer from over here, takes it all to Vietnam just to enjoy it with a couple soldiers? This guy, John Chicky Donahue. So check that shit out. Of course, yeah, we're always going to do the paranormal shit. We're always going to have paranormal news. Got some fucking funny news. So y'all, if you guys are in the Oregon area and you guys run out of paper, please don't fucking call 911. I guess that's what's been happening and shit. Now, I'm guessing this shit's still fucking happening. The whole fucking toilet paper thing. So, I guess people had been calling 911 in Oregon to get their toilet paper supply. Please be careful with that shit. Please don't fucking take up sources for real, because you're all fucking up. That's real talk right there. That's just funny as fuck, though. I don't understand how that fucking happens. But, I mean, like, yeah, it's an emergency. You gotta wipe your ass and shit, taking a shit. Maybe you got the runs. Who fucking knows? It fucking sucks, though, running out of toilet paper. You guys have ever had that happen to you? Fuck. Especially when you fucking had this really bad fucking, not bad, but, I mean, the food's not really settling well. We all know some of us do it with spicy food, some with milk. Not to be too crude, but we all understand that fucking, it's like a feeling of being fucking, it's like a feeling of being lost, or maybe stranded in the desert. That's the same feeling. You're like, oh, fuck, what am I going to fucking do? How am I going to wipe my ass and shit? Can't wipe my ass with my hands. I mean, you could, but I don't know how that's going to fucking play out. Now, this one is a little more funny. I mean, not funny, but how the fuck does this happen? So, Poland accidentally invades Czech Republic in minor misunderstanding. We're just gonna leave that there. I don't know how the fuck that happens. I'm like, hey, you know what? My bad. I was gonna invade your fucking country. You know what? My mistake. All right. So we good though? We good? We still cool? That's some funny shit right there. So apparently, there's reports of paranormal activity on the rise during this Corona stay at home. So I guess people are starting to notice shit now. So be careful and shit. I don't know if it's maybe a collective, like, holy shit, I'm at home and I'm fucking, like, losing my mind, or it's the real deal, Holyfield and shit. So, I mean, there could be multiple things that can cause, of course. I don't know if you want to, you know, I'm not going to call them hallucinations, because that's just happened to me before, but there's a lot of reasons why. Of course, maybe they're near a high power source. I don't know, maybe some shit where it creates a magnetic field and makes you fucking, makes you hallucinate or some shit like that. So that is fucking nuts. I mean, I can see it happening because maybe you start noticing shit more that wasn't there and that you were oblivious to before, which, you know, makes a lot of sense. All right, so moving forward from the paranormal shit, I guess some bit of alien news. The Milky Way may be home to 30 active alien civilizations. So, and this is, I guess, under the assumption, of course, that it takes about 5 billion years for intelligent life to form another planet, just like an Earth. So, and this is coming from Professor Christopher Concelis from the University of Nottingham. So, I mean, I think that whatever they're fucking putting in the public, and not to be a conspiracy theorist, but it makes a lot of sense. Whatever the public is being put out, being informed of through the media and all that bullshit, is just, of course, the tip of the iceberg. I think that, of course, it's already happened. We've already found civilizations everywhere, and of course, they're not going to tell that to the public, because how the fuck would the public react, and how would that change the history? And the history books, just like that in that movie Signs. If alien contact in a big, huge way would be made, history would change. All the history books would change. Everything would change. And I guess it would change life forever. It means that there's a lot more to this life than we think. Now, this is going to be a study, so it's just an assumption. So, and they're assuming that any given intelligent alien civilization would require a metal-rich environment in order to evolve. So, and that makes sense. I'm not a fucking scientist, but I play one on TV, just fucking around. I'm not a scientist, but it makes sense. I understand that shit, so. And, I mean, think about it. As I stated before, this universe is too fucking huge and too vast and too fucking made up of a lot of shit that it's just going to be us. That's for damn sure. So, if they find alien intelligence and alien life, what that would mean for Earth is that it must be older, you know? It must be older than a few fucking hundred years. That's reality. And what this professor was stating is that if they were to find no active civilizations in our galaxy, then that would be a bad sign for our long-term existence. And I'm just paraphrasing that shit. So that makes a lot of fucking sense, really. I mean, because I don't think that we're all having a fucking collective hallucination. I really don't. It's got to be true. It's got to be real. Something out there is real. We got, even if it's not interplanetary but interdimensional, maybe it's what they were. And a lot of people reference that. What if the so-called extraterrestrials or aliens are actually a super duper futuristic evolved version of us in the near future, and they're coming back because they have harnessed the control of time and space. So you could travel from timeline, I guess, to timeline, or maybe from dimension to dimension. Who knows? Or maybe it's the interdimensional beings that live on Earth from a different dimension, and we're affecting Earth in such a way with the whole atom thing and all that bullshit, atomic bomb and atomic energy, that it's affecting their dimension. It's a possibility. So, I mean, who fucking knows? This is really out there. But, I mean, fuck. It's time for these fucking ideas to come to light. So, yeah. That's fucking crazy. Moving on. We'll do a couple more. A fucking giant squid washes up in a beach in South Africa. And I'm talking about big motherfucker. But, for some reason, of course, scientists have not been able to have or have proof of a big squid like this, because, you know, birds start pecking at it. It hasn't been really a whole body. They always find big squids, but it's they're always pecked at, and they're not always whole. And this one's pretty fucking whole. So this lady, there's a picture of this lady, I think it's a lady or a guy, whatever, he's laying down side by side this fucking squid, and that motherfucking big. And I guess the guy's average height probably 5'10", and this fucking thing is bigger. Fucking sad. And it was found in St. Helena Bay, and it's fucking huge. It's 7 feet in length, big ass, eight foot long tentacle. Tentacles, and it's weighs, well, I think a little bit over 300 kilos. It's like, what, maybe 500, 600 pounds, I guess, give or take. So, yeah, it washed up in Britannia Beach in St. Helena Bay, Western Cape. And, yeah, of course, it attracted a bunch of people. There's video clips if you want to check that shit out. It's how the fuck it ended up on the beach, who fucking knows? But, yeah. It was still alive when it washed up. I don't know why the fuck these people didn't just try to fucking throw it in the water. Or maybe, I don't know. Sometimes the intelligence of this is human race is really fucking... The only reason why I say that is because I saw a video, too, of a sand shark washing up on a beach. And these fucking people took pictures of it. And they kept passing it around and passing it around. They fucking killed the goddamn shark. So, I'm serious. Fucking the intelligence of people are sometimes just... I don't know fucking what to do with these fucking... Civilization. It's fucking weird. So, I've spoken about this before in past podcasts. Sorry, I'm a little stoned and shit. But I guess scientists have uncovered structures deep beneath the Earth. The only reason why is that they're discovering this because of earthquakes that occur deep thousands of miles within the ocean. So, I don't know. Y'all know how I feel about that inner Earth and Agora and all that stuff. It's possible. It's possible that we have a huge new, not new, but older, not civilization, but fucking part of the world we've never seen. Have you guys ever seen the movie? What is that fucking movie called? Whatever, it's a rock and shit. It was with the Rock. He fucking I can't fucking think of that fucking name right now. There you go. Fucking Journey to the Center of the Earth. That movie. You guys seen that shit? I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. So yeah. Don't knock that shit. That shit's real talk, for real. And also, one last one. There is supposedly underground entrances to Area 51 that were discovered, of course, from Google Earth. I don't fucking know if you guys, maybe motherfuckers don't have children or some shit. They have a lot of fucking time on their hands. But these fools from that use Google Earth and find anomalies and weird shit. I mean, just go on YouTube and there's fucking a huge number of videos that show everybody on Google Maps finding this weird shit. And I'm looking at the picture right now, and it's fucking crazy. It looks like an entrance. I mean, it's fucking clear. Now there is cars parked around there and all that shit, but it's in the middle of fucking nowhere. So it blends in with the earth. It looks like it's part of the mountain or a little fucking hill. It's fucking weird. But if they were really trying to, you know, I mean, I don't think they'd be that fucking stupid to put that shit entrance out in the air. But of course, who the fuck is going to try to go there? That was already happened one time, and we all know how that fucking went. So, I mean, now, just thought right now. Just thought about this shit. What if Area 51 is fucking vastly, vastly more enormous and more huge than we ever fucking thought? Y'all ever think about that shit? Also, there is the thing about underground tunnels and underground structures and all that shit. So, I don't know. I think that there is a huge connection of tunnels underground that lead to everywhere. So, and also, I can't say for sure, But I know I've seen a couple of videos on YouTube as well. Fucking YouTube, man. They come with the craziest shit. And supposedly there is these huge tunnels underground that Walmart uses that get you from point A to point B. Now, these tunnels, I've seen, and literally, there's fucking videos on YouTube. There's these entrance to these tunnels that are fucking huge that trucks go into. And they ask truckers, hey, what the fuck is this? And they tell them, hey, this, you fucking take this damn tunnel, and they'll lead you straight to where you fucking need to be in probably 2 hours and shit. Because it's one straight shot, I'm assuming. So check that shit out. There's a bunch of shit out there. For real. Yeah, that's a bit of fucking weird news for y'all. So stay tuned. Yeah, so on the last podcast I mentioned something about TeePublic, and I uploaded my designs to that fucking spot. And not to talk shit on them, of course, they're a good entity. But their inventory is literally fucking flooded with cannabis-based designs. And I don't know why the fuck my design was taken down. So I uploaded my design. It was taken down. That's some bullshit right there. So I will try another way to get the actual merch up. So, and I'm even thinking about maybe getting a Patreon account, if that is, you know, even something that I might consider. So anyway, yeah, let's start this fucking thing. Start this thing, man. So we're going to just get right into it. But first, let's smoke. And once again, I want to just go ahead and mention our sponsor. This episode of the Blunt Report is sponsored by Weed. Smoke it. Don't know why the hell I'm taking fucking dry hits and shit. So yeah, let's get into it. The story of the greatest beer run ever in life. In life, eh? You know what I'm saying? All right. So, the greatest beer run ever. There have been countless times for most of us that we think the greatest fucking ideas we come up with, high, drunk, or a variety of the two, are the product of a sudden uprising of genius, and we swear by it. So, some fail miserably, and sometimes, just sometimes, some of those ideas align with the universe somehow, some way. The gods smile upon you and say, hey, I got you. Don't worry about it. Don't even trip. So this is the story of one man, John Chickie Donahue, a discharged Marine, and at that time, a merchant seaman who participated in such an idea that came to be known as the greatest beer run ever. Picture this, Sicily. No, I'm fucking with you. Picture this. The year was 1967, November to be more precise, and a young Don in his mid-20s was hanging out at one of his local pubs in Inwood, Manhattan, Doc Fiddler's. So, one day, while having a conversation with Doc, the owner, who was a retired colonel, came up with the conversation. And the conversation was that the conversation came up while anti-protesters were protesting nearby, protesting the war. And at the time and birth of this fucking glorious idea, the Vietnam War was taking lives of brave men on the front lines fighting for the United States of America, which started in November 1st, 1955 through April 30th, 1975. So Doc was talking about, you know, how much he would like to pretty much buy him a beer, let the boys over on the front lines know how much they supported the troops, and to let them know they were not forgotten, and how much he would love to buy him a beer. And so it began. Chicken volunteered. He said, hey, fuck it, I'll go on the mission to have a brew with the buddies and shit. You know, while I'm over there, I'll buy him a beer and shit. So the following day, Doc lost no time in getting the addresses of friends from the neighborhood. So these three friends would be Tom Collins, Ricky Duggan, and Bob Pappas. So Don later, the next day, I'm sorry, John. John or Chicky, later that day, visited the mothers and fathers of Tommy Collins, Ricky Duggan, and Bob Pappas, and he went there to inform them. That he would go overseas to give his friends a visit. Of course, they were fucking thrilled. They loved the idea. So, now, Chicky took advantage that he was a merchant seaman and boarded the SS Victory from Jersey to Quinan in Vietnam. So, a merchant seaman, I don't fucking really know exactly what the fuck they do. Look that shit up. I'm sorry I don't have more information because it was just fucking too confusing. They work with goods and services. I don't fucking know. I mean, there's a union, all that shit. There's a lot of stuff, so, you know, and please don't take it as an insult. I just don't fucking, I can't explain it, so. Anyway, when he gets off of the fucking, he steps foot in Vietnam by some miracle, the first person that he sees when he steps foot in Quinan is none other than Tommy Collins. Fucking needless to say, they were thrilled. They were fucking hugging it out. I'm pretty sure, I mean, if I'm overseas at a war and one of my fucking civilian friends happens to come over and fucking see me just because he wants to see me, fuck, I almost probably won't fucking want to cry and shit. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm pretty sure that war is just fucking different. I can't speak on it because out of respect, I don't know how it is to be in war, so. But from what I see is, fuck, it's crazy. So, of course, they celebrated that night with some beers, singing Irish songs, like back in the old hood. So, while having a night out with his friend, he met a pilot crew chief, a Texas man with the hat to match. So, he noticed, Chicky noticed that he, the pilot, had a patch from the 1st Cavalry, which, where his friend Ricky Duggan was from, the 1st Cavalry Charlie Company. And he asked the pilot if he knew his friend. And, of course, the pilot replied, "I don't know him, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I could take you where the 1st Cav is." And they were in Nong Cai, which was up in the mountains. So Chicky gave every person he asked for help the same story, that he had a stepbrother in Vietnam in the war, and his stepmom was dying, and his stepmom wanted the stepbrother to come see him in Vietnam. So if that makes any fucking sense. And it worked, and he used the story over and over again, and that's how he fucking got around. So he was able to hitch a ride to Nong Cai the next day. So the next day he met up with the pilot, who took him to in his own plane to Nong Cai. And while in Nong Cai, he ran into another friend from his old neighborhood, had a beer with them, was able to get a ride to Phu Bai, which was where the 1st Cab was actually located. So after he was able to get a helicopter ride to LZ Jane, he hitched a ride from to Phu Bai to LZ Jane. Now, LZ Jane was actually where the 1st Cab was located. So, you know, he got a ride up to LZ Jane as well, with the same sob story, of course. You know, his stepmom was dying, blah, 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 blah. Upon arrival, he found out that his friend Rick Duggan was out on an ambush perimeter. So, ambush perimeter is pretty much what it is. A perimeter for an ambush. If you guys know what a fucking ambush is, I don't have to fucking explain that to you. So, obviously, Chicky was not supposed to be there and could not be recognized as being there. So, his friend was notified, and his friend did the only thing he could do. He fucking took him on his ambush a perimeter. So, Chicky went through one of the scariest fucking nights of his life. Rockets lit up the night, as well as gunfire, bombs, firefights, all this bullshit, right? So, finally, after all that bullshit, he spent a couple days with his friend. Shortly after that, with the help of Ricky, he gets to make it back to Quinan, where his ship was set to take him back home. Much to his surprise, the ship was not there. So he gets in contact with his friend again, who would help him get in contact with the harbor master. And, of course, after that, he would be needing a passport and other documents to get around Vietnam, which probably would have taken a couple days. And he would have to travel to Saigon to get proper ID and passport. Again, he was able to get on a plane right to Saigon to the embassy, which informed him that he was reported as missing. So finally, you know, I don't know how the fuck they report you as missing overseas and shit. Of course, makes sense, I guess. So being that he was in the Seamen's Union, they would give him an allowance of $25 a day to live on. So remind you, back in the day, I mean, $25 to live on is really not a lot. Still, I mean, it was worth more, but nah, not to eat and not to have a fucking hotel. So finally, he got his passport, but he still had to get his visa. So he went to what would be the equivalent of the State Department in Vietnam. So he had to bribe them with $900. So it was given to him by the council. So of course, open bribery back in the day was in Vietnam was, I guess, like whatever. So it took a couple days, and he was able to get his visa. He was able to get a ride on a ship as a crew member in Manila. So, you know, he was able to fucking get everything back. He's gonna be there a couple days, but he was gonna go back to the U.S. and shit. So, excuse me. This happened on the eve of Tet, or the Vietnamese New Year. So, he ran into another friend from his old hood, and they had a beer or two. I'm pretty sure. So, when all that shit was over, you know, he went to hit it over to his hotel he was staying at to rest it off and all that bullshit. Upon waking up the next morning, he woke up to all his windows being blown out. So he didn't really think nothing of it. But I don't fucking know. If I wake up to my fucking windows all busted out, what the fuck? But he didn't think anything of it because that it was a Chinese New Year's. So he just assumed it was all fireworks and, you know, which is what he heard all night. So later on, he would find out that it wasn't fucking fireworks. It was the beginning of the Tet Offensive, which was one of the largest military campaigns of the Vietnam War. It was launched on January 30th, 1968, by forces of the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese People's Army of Vietnam against the forces of South Vietnamese Army of the Republic of Vietnam and the United States Armed Forces and their allies. So it was a campaign of surprise attacks against military and civilian command and control centers throughout South Vietnam. So he began to tread he began his tread on the New Year's on New Year's around 6 a.m. Unaware of this fucking large offensive, it was at the time that he was made aware of it that the consulate and the U.S. embassy were taken by the Viet Cong. So he wasn't aware of that until after he got this information. So this information didn't quite register with Chicky, so until he made his way to the U.S. Embassy, where he was met with gunfire from the Viet Cong. So they were shooting at, who were shooting at people for being on the street. So him being one of those people, he took cover behind a tree until U.S. forces took back the embassy, which wasn't after a while. So after all this ordeal, he made his way into the embassy, ready for his plane ride that would take him, you know, to the ship, back to the States. There would be no fucking plane ride, no shit back home due to the violent situation. So he was given a chit or a voucher, which was good as money, so he could stay at a nice fancy hotel. So he chose the Continental Palace Hotel. He made his way outside, where he greeted two men and asked them if they were headed to the palace, and if they were, could he ride with them? So the men, in fact, were going to the palace and agreed to take Chicky there. Little did he know, they were talking about another palace, the Presidential Palace. So he was only made aware of this after the men passed the street that the hotel was on. So upon arriving to the Presidential Palace, some fucking crazy shit happened. He was greeted with a Jeep getting hit by an RPG. So not his Jeep, but another Jeep. And this Jeep was sent flying into the fucking air several feet. So all of a sudden, two men bail out of the Jeep while in motion, and he's fucking still in the goddamn Jeep. So he bails out moments later. Chicky spent the majority of the day and part of that evening avoiding gunfire, hiding behind trees and walls, and being witness to soldiers being killed by gunfire. So finally, the night fell, and he hid under some stairs of a two-story apartment where he stayed until the morning. So that morning, he was able to find refuge in a hotel where he spent 3 weeks. but he mostly spent his time at the Caravelle Hotel, where most reporters were hanging out at that time, with the bar on the roof. So he was able to get in contact with his friend, who was a crew member of the SS Lehman, which was a refrigeration vessel for food. So he was fed daily and had money collected for him to sustain him while he was there. There was still one last friend to see, and that was Bobby Pappas, who he was able to locate at the Long Bin military base. Again, he was able to get a ride where Bobby was, via convoy, in the middle of a bunker, which was an ammunition dump, which to keep all the ammunition and shit like that. So finally, he gets to see his friend, have a few beers, and laughs. While Chicky was there, he was convinced he convinced everybody that the war was over. I don't know how the fuck you do that, but this motherfucker was able to finesse that shit and say, hey, the war's over, don't even trip, we're good, this and that. This was not the case, for when he came back down to Saigon after visiting his friend, the night lit up like fucking daylight, and due to an attack on the ammunition dump where Bobby was located. So shortly after the attack, he already thought his friend was gone. He's just probably going to go up there to get his body back and all that shit. That's what he was thinking. So shortly after the attack, he got a ride back up to Long Bin, where he went searching for his friend. When he arrived there, there was ambushes everywhere. Everything was fucked up. Much to his surprise, his friend was still alive and well and fucking pissed. I mean, fucking going off, motherfucker, I thought you fucking told me the war was over, blah, 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 all that bullshit, right? So, I mean, of course, wouldn't you be fucking convinced? I mean, pissed if somebody convinced you that the war was over and the attack took him by surprise. So I'm pretty sure that's why he's more fucking pissed off. It's probably fucking shitting bricks over there. So all that commotion was over. He was now back in Saigon, and he was able to catch a ride with a crew member in the SS Lehman, where his friend was working. So the ship was attacked, and one of the crew members was injured, so he was able to hitch a ride there. So he was able to convince the captain to take him on as part of the crew. So Chicky's odyssey took 5 fucking months. So from November 1968 to April 1969. So when this guy finally made it back to Doc Fiddler's local bar, and at his local bar in Inwood, Manhattan, he was greeted with, hey, it's Chicky and he's alive, by Colonel Lynch, the owner. So needless to say, Chicky became fucking local legend and didn't pay for his beer for fucking a long time. So he ended up buying the local pub, and that's fucking crazy. So later on, he met up with his friends, and he hadn't seen him for a long time. They're still alive and well at the same bar. So this fucking story is fucking nuts. Now let's just analyze a little bit. So I mean imagine if you're with your homies in fucking bum fucking nowhere. Let's say they're in a fucking foreign country, and maybe they're not, you know, in the middle of a war. Maybe they're working over there, and you know, the fucking idea comes up where you have the means to go over and fucking say what's up to him, and you show up, and they're surprised and shit like that, and you go through a bunch of shit. And that's a friend right there. That's a homie for life, straight up. Now, I heard that the Farrelly brothers were making a movie about this. So if you guys don't know who the Farrelly brothers are, I believe they produce one of the fucking funniest movies I have ever fucking seen in my entire life. Make sure, yep. Actually, a couple. They've made Me, Myself, and Irene. Of course, one of my fucking favorites, Dumb and Dumber. And I don't know about Dumb and Dumber 2. It was alright. But yeah, so Shallow Hal was a fucking good one. Kingpin, I've never seen. Stuck on You, I've seen. That was fucking pretty funny. So, yeah. They're going to make the adaptation of the of this fucking greatest beer run ever. So yeah, the greatest fucking beer run ever. That is it. Story of John Chicky Donahue going over and having a beer with his homies during the fucking war. Now, if you're asking yourself what kind of beer he took, one of my fucking favorites, Pabst. Now, a lot of you might not fucking like Pabst, but it's fucking bomb. I just like it for some fucking reason. Of course, also, fuck, if you guys want to try a bomb-ass beer, try fucking Belching Beaver's Peanut Butter Milk Stout. That shit is fucking tits. And of course, I've also had another one. This one was, I think, from Lost Coast. I'm not sure if it's Lost Coast or not. Let me fucking look that shit up. Let's see. I think it is Lost Coast. Yeah, it is Lost Coast. That I think that they have a peanut butter chocolate beer. That one was pretty good. That one had hints of coffee in it, which is pretty good. Chocolate, of course. It was different than the Belching Beaver one, so. Yeah. Also, if you guys have been keeping up with shit on my podcast, haven't done shit for a while, I'm trying to hoard record everything that I all the ideas and shit, and I'm trying to put down. So also, if you want to reach me by email, hit me up at Cannibal Blunt Report. That's CANNABOWL Blunt Report at gmail.com. Also, hit me up through my Instagram. So if you have any fucking comments, feedback, any ideas for the show and shit, let me know. Let me fucking know. So, also, we are going to be doing an episode sometime, somewhere, about Voodoo New Orleans. It's going to be called Voodoo Orleans. Just a little short about, you know, the mysteries behind New Orleans and such a bright history and culture, and also, of course, ties in with slavery and all that stuff. So, which was fucking slavery. Fuck bullshit. Fuck the fucking slavery bullshit. Fuck that shit. So, yeah, we're gonna be doing again more of the fucking thing, more butt shit. Also, you know what? I just thought of a fucking idea. We might be even doing a fucking beer episode. Who the fucking knows? Again, please, one more time. Don't mind the media. Get the fuck off of that shit. There's no sense in having an outlet that's controlled by just one entity to put ideas in your head. So, regardless of if you think this virus is real, regardless of what you think about these times of police brutality against the black community, well, get that shit out of your head. And get your own ideas from what you see, and don't buy into the media bullshit. Of course, we all know the media is bullshit. So I'm thankful that I have an outlet to express myself in that sense. Of course, so take care of yourselves. Please, please, please don't stop smoking. Don't stop believing. I'm just fucking around. No, don't stop doing your thing, really, around these times and shit. So stay positive. Try to stay with a clear head. Yeah, try to get a new skill, as I stated before. Try to do something new that will help you. Self-help, whatever the fuck you want to do it. So if you guys are feeling depressed, please reach out to somebody. There's plenty of local numbers that you can call. Look this up near your town, what services your community provides. Please, please, please stay safe out there. Again, keep your head up. Stay fucking positive. Smoke that weed. Dab it. Roll it. Eat it. Vape it. Whatever the fuck you want. Stay safe out there. Again, my name is Cannibal, the Cannabis Animal. Back at it again with another fucking edition of the Blunt Report, y'all. Take care. I love y'all. Take it easy. Hit that blunt, baby. What's up? That's right, eh? All right, Cannibal out. Word.